Today on the show, we reflect on past failures, heal our wounds, and rescue a princess. Welcome to Lore Party, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and universes of our favorite video games. I'm Jaden.
And I'm Kevin.
And today we are talking about episode 4 of Kenobi, a Star Wars story. Well, I don't think I call it a Star Wars story, but it is a Star Wars story. And we're excited to talk to you about it today.
Yeah, this one is nowhere near as long as the last one.
So, yeah, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, honestly, the last one felt super long. And was totally a grind, but this one, a lot of stuff happens in this one, but it is nowhere near as meaty as the last one.
Yeah, which a lot of good stuff in that last one, but it was a while. It took us a while to get all of our thoughts down on paper, and the stuff that got cut from the episode when it got released from our side was a lot, but it was also I think it was necessary.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was just us like being super excited, repeating ourselves.
Exactly. So, you know, it's nice for us to be able to refocus, regroup with this episode, and we're gonna carry on business as usual. We're gonna recap the episode for you guys, and then we will give our thoughts and our opinions and our predictions, because we are almost done with Kenobi. There was only 6 episodes for the show.
I know you and I were talking about it right before we started recording, but I do agree with you and your friend that I do feel like maybe this should have been 8 instead of 6 episodes.
Yeah, I feel like one or two more episodes probably would have helped with the pacing, I think, at least a little. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
And it's not me asking for more content, because obviously I want more content. But still.
Absolutely, 100%, yeah.
I do think it's a little short.
We do have a lot. And that's the nice thing, though, is that we do have a lot more Star Wars content that is coming down the pipeline from Lucasfilm. Because they announced a bunch during Star Wars Celebration, which... that's fantastic. You know, always more Star Wars content is never a bad thing. All right, so we're gonna jump into the episode, but before we do that, we gotta do some housekeeping. We love to hear from our listeners, so please feel free to email us at podcast@loreparty.com with your thoughts and some episode ideas. We're planning on doing a lot more Star Wars content, so we would love to hear your thoughts and ideas on anything you want to hear about the Star Wars universe. Our teams also stream weekly on Twitch, so please be sure to follow us on twitch.tv/lore_party. And of course, you can connect with us on Instagram and Twitter @lore_party. All right, now that that stuff's out of the way, we got to do a quick word from our sponsor, and then we will jump into this amazing episode of Kenobi. Okay, now that we've wrapped that up, let's get into the episode. We open with Kenobi, who is barely clinging to life after his initial confrontation with Darth Vader. You know, he's coming in and out of consciousness. He seems a little woozy. They're trying to get him on a ship to get him out of there. And this whole time, we have no idea where Leia is. She's nowhere to be found.
And it is really reminiscent of when Vader was burned and he was coming in and out of it at first. And he was like, what's going on? That it was a very great parallel. They did a really good job of it. And of course, he's freaking out. He doesn't know what the hell is going on. It's been a while. It's been a couple days or something.
They finally get him on a ship, and they get him to the planet Jabim, where they get him into a Bacta tank. And we actually get a really cool sequence where, like, Obi-Wan's floating in his Bacta tank, Vader's floating in his Bacta tank, and they're, like, it's almost like they're sensing each other's pain through the Force. You know, one of them is enjoying the pain, whereas the other one's, you know, just suffering. Vader seems to be, like, enjoy it.
Yeah, this is really cool. I found this episode to have a kind of a theme, but also the series kind of has a theme. Like, the yin and yang kind of situation. So you have Obi-Wan, who's the light side user, and we have Darth Vader, who's the dark side user. That's kind of obvious in Star Wars. But this, the way it's shot, is just, they do a lot of back and forth between the two of them experiencing almost similar things. And it just, it's really cool to see how each one reacts to it. And then also how similar the things that they go through are. But, there's just a lot of little subtle hints at this as well, and like little tidbits and stuff from, you know, coloring. even there's the way cinematically the coloring is used in this episode. We'll get to that in a little bit, but yeah, we'll keep going.
I will say, though, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. I felt like this would have been the perfect time to do a Clone Wars flashback. You know, that would have been so cool. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have been asking for it, and we just didn't get it in this scene. And I feel like that was a wasted opportunity for them. I'd like to see more of Hayden Christensen. You know, what we've seen of him has been very, like, sparsely utilized. And I think, based on the marketing, at least, I thought we would get a little bit more of him. You know, there's still a chance that they could do some of that stuff in the next episode. You know, we don't know. But I feel like as it stands right now, you know, there's just a little bit of a missed opportunity there.
No, I'd agree.
While this is all going on, we get a shot of the Fortress Inquisitorius, which I think is such a cool emo name for this base, where it's on the planet Nur. Reva is interrogating Leia. She got him in this, you know, little cell, and Leia's being her usual defiant self. She's like, you know, he will come for me. And I love it. Reva's just like, you know what? I'm going to employ the classic tactic. I'm just going to lie. And she's like, Obi-Wan is actually dead. No one is coming for you. And she, you know, and it's so funny because, like, I don't think Leia believes her at all. She just has this look of like,
no,
are you sure?
No, this entire interrogation kind of situation, like, it goes on for a while throughout the episode. We do a lot of back and forth to this, but this entire interrogation situation is Leia's a badass. That's all I'm going to say. That's kind of what it shows, is Leia has been a badass since she was 10, probably earlier. So Leia's very much like, I don't know. Are you sure? You think at first that Leia doesn't get it. You think, oh no, Leia's just a kid. I just want to go home. I just want to go home. You hear that a lot. But no, that's not how that goes. Of course, I will say Leia does think that Obi-Wan is dead. She definitely does believe that. I think you can tell she believes that later on in the episode. But after this situation, we cut right to Kenobi, and he is with Tala, and they're speaking to the Path's leader, Roken.
Yes.
They both plead to him to help rescue Leia. And Roken says that he tried to help his Force-sensitive wife one time, but the Inquisitors killed her. He was like, you know, I had a wife, and like, it's pretty sad, and you can see Obi-Wan is really, really bummed out about it. He's like, but dude, like, it's just a kid.
And we don't even know if, like, she was a Jedi who, like, escaped the life, if she was just a random person who happened to know how to use the Force. We don't get much backstory on her, which that could be something interesting to explore later.
Yeah, we don't get much information about it, just that, like, Obi-Wan kind of says, like, you don't understand, and then he's like, oh, I don't understand. I had a wife. Like, it's pretty sad. Yeah. The whole thing is just, like, I don't think Obi-Wan realizes what's been going on outside of Tatooine, and it kind of shows.
Yeah, he's been very isolated. With his,
you know.
Which I...
Yeah, it shows with his conversations a lot with other people.
Absolutely.
And so, after this kind of thing, he pleads and says, look, she's 10, man. Like, it's a 10-year-old child. And so, Roken kind of says, all right, fine. He agrees to help. So now we get to the classic heist planning scene to infiltrate the fortress.
Yeah, it's not Star Wars without a classic. Everyone gathers around a table to discuss the plan.
Yeah, it's very fun to see.
And
this,
you know, I never
get
tired of it.
Wars,
I really like it when they're like, all right, let's pull it up on the big board.
Yeah. Survey says
death
table scene. So Tala agrees to use her cover as an officer to sneak onto the base. And of course, everybody's like, do you still have clearance? And she's like, we'll find out.
Like,
we don't know if this is.
That's a big fucking gamble.
Yeah, dude, this plan could backfire, fail so easily, like on the first step. So,
which I love that because, like, this is not the rebellion. You know, this is years before the rebellion's even a thing. These are just like some people who were trying to be helpful.
Yeah, this is kind of really cool because these people are a group of people that I would just assume are some of the beginnings of the rebellion. Like, these people are definitely, like, the starting group. Because they're arguing, too, about, like, how are we going to get into this fortress? They're like, it's on this moon in Mustafar system. And I'm like, oh, shit. So now we know this is a water moon that has a building on it that looks very reminiscent in architecture to Vader's castle.
Yes.
And they don't know how deep the water goes. They said they can't find out how deep the water goes. They don't know if it hits the bottom. They don't know what's down there. Nobody's been able to get in there. And so that's why they're like, we don't know if we could even get in.
They even have that great line where it's like, where's the shield generators? And they're like, there isn't one. No one would be dumb enough to attack it. Like, that's
exactly,
that's a cool touch. Because that's classic Imperial arrogance. Like, that's, love it.
Now, there's another thing right here that I don't know if you guys realize this, but since it's that yin and yang kind of situation, the extremes, it's both in the Mustafar system. We have Vader's castle on this giant lava rock that's like kind of an extreme. And then we also have the moon in the Mustafar system that is this giant water moon. So there are these extremes, these kind of yin and yangs, if you will.
It's kind of cool.
And it's really cool to see these like super extreme differences. And, you know, even the coloring, like the moon is blue, you know, we have red.
I also love the idea of like the Inquisitors, if Vader thinks of them as like petulant children, so he put them on their own moon so they're away from him.
Yeah.
They're still within arm's reach. Like, there's just a quick shuttle hop away, but still he's like, I don't want these fucking kids anywhere near me. They're annoying as shit.
Well, remember, they all have aspirations, and I don't think a Sith would want to have somebody with high aspirations like that around.
That's true.
So now we are en route where Ben practices kind of using the Force. He's kind of like flexing his muscles. He's trying to move, I think it was like a bolt or something, and I'm just going to say he's shit at it. He's like really not good at it.
He is shit, but he's better than when he had to rescue Leia. It doesn't hurt him as much, it seems like.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, his connection to the Force was almost painful, and I think because when he tapped into the Force prior, it was sad. And I think that sadness manifested into pain.
His relationship with the Force is clearly damaged. It's, you know, a Jedi is supposed to be at peace, and I don't think Obi-Wan is at peace. To borrow a phrase from Obi-Wan, I think there is a great conflict inside of him stemming from his failure in Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about what Yoda said. Pain and sadness. You know, sadness leads to pain. Pain leads to sorrow. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of, if you think about it, he's overwhelmed with grief and sadness, and that kind of could lead to the dark side.
That's so true.
Just throwing that out there, yeah. I don't think he would do that, but
that'd be
be wild.
That would be an amazing what if comic. Yeah. I'd love to see a Star Wars what if. That would be very cool if they ever got around to doing that.
I don't think he would do it though, because I think his grief is so much that he just can't get out of it. Like, he's straight depression. But one little fun tidbit about this is, Tala clearly knows a lot more about the Force than you would think. I mean, obviously she's been helping move Force-sensitive people and stuff, but she clearly understands a little bit of teachings of the Force. Maybe she's learned it from the Jedi she's saved and helped and stuff, but she kind of talks to him about that and is like, hey, are you okay? And like starts talking about like Leia and like the Force and like it, you know, just basically kind of consoling him, being like, hey, bro, like, it's going to be good. You're going to be okay.
Yeah, which was good to see someone actually like trying to get him back up on his feet. You know, the thing you got to remember about this is like the way Ben feels is not he's not the Jedi that everyone remembers. Like Obi-Wan Kenobi is a very famous general. You know, he's one of the heroes of the Clone Wars, and so Tala probably feels really bad seeing him like this. You know, like this is the guy that was like the guy, you know, he was the big Jedi hero, and it's like, and she's like, come, you know, it's like that meme of the guy poking with the stick, like, come on, be a Jedi.
Yeah, he is also called General multiple times in this episode.
Yeah, which I love that. I thought that was like, you know, there's an old Legends comic that I always loved where a clone trooper like meets Luke Skywalker and always refers to him as general, even though he's not, you know, he's just a commander. And he's like, sorry, that's but cool. All Jedi are known as generals in my day. And I was like, love that some people still think of them as Jedi, you know, or as Jedi, think of the Jedi as generals. Like, I love that idea that, you know, just because the fight is over, they still believe in.
That's cool.
Now we get to a great interrogation scene with Leia and Reva. I love this because this whole time, Leia just runs circles around Reva like this entire episode, and I don't think the actress who plays Leia gets enough credit. That kid is going places. She's so good.
Amazing. It's just straight amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. Like she pulls out every like real life interrogation technique that she possibly can on Leia, and Leia's just like, nah. Like, yeah, I'm not telling you anything. If I knew anything, I would tell you, but I don't know anything. I know nothing. Which is so good. Meanwhile, Tala takes her shuttle and lands. She's in her full, you know, Imperial uniform, starts strutting through the Fortress Inquisitorius. I love saying that name. That name sounds way cooler than it deserves. Like, that's such a badass structure. And I actually really love the sequence when she gets to, like, an Imperial checkpoint and, like, manages to bluff her way through. And I just love, because it gives us such a good insight into what the Empire is as a structure. They are just power-grabbing, like, morons. Like, they're just, like...
It's sad, in my opinion. Like, they're just shit. They don't understand... It's like they have structure and they care about structure, but the structure isn't really there because it could just break on, like, just a flick.
It's so great, too, because it's like I jokingly said to my friend when I was watching, I was like, they're just trying to out-arrogance each other.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't, like, they scan Tala's ID, and he's like, you don't have clearance for this sector. And she's like, that's sir to you, peasant. And he's like, oh, of course. It's just something like whoever's the more dickish wins in the Empire, it seems like. Whoever's a bigger meanie.
To me, it just seems weird, though, because, like, I don't know. It's too easy to infiltrate because if people don't understand, you know what I mean? Like, she easily did that. There was no real, I don't know,
challenge.
Military, like, yeah, but no, there was just, like, no real protocol. Like, everything was just kind of
shitty.
Oh, well,
no, they followed the protocol. Like, it's just that she was able to be like, you know, hey, I'm an Imperial officer. You will address me as such. And I was just like, I love that
she
shit.
She said, like, will you go to the, should I contact the Grand Inquisitor? And should I, and it's like,
yeah, they're so afraid of rocking the boat. They're like, ah, whatever. I'm not getting paid enough for this. Get it. Just go. Leave me alone.
Yeah. See, I just feel like that's just a broken system. Like, how the fuck did that, like, last not only 10 years, but another fucking 10 years? Like, how the hell did this, like, I don't know. I just think it's too easy. It's too goofy.
Well, no, it just shows the breakdown of the, like, Imperial doctrine versus
the fear system.
The Republic. Yeah, the a system of fear, the Tarkin doctrine, as it was called in Legends, doesn't work in practice because all anyone has to do is pull the fucking Draco Malfoy, I'm going to tell my father. And they're like, oh, shit. Okay, go do whatever you want. Like, anyone can pretend like they're doing something on the orders of some higher power, and then no one checks up on them because they're afraid of getting their necks fucking snapped. So after this scene, you know, Tala pulls out her little comlink and is like, all right, I'm in. She sits down at a computer console and starts, you know, opening security doors for Obi-Wan, who we now see is swimming up to an access hatch at the bottom of the base, which, you know, he's got his little rebreather on. It's very episode one-y. It's very cool. I liked it a lot.
As somebody with thalassophobia, I hated it, but it was also really cool.
So she opens up a little hatch for him, and he climbs in, kills a stormtrooper, and then, you know, runs out completely dry, which a lot of people were laughing about. But also, it's really hard to make people look wet on camera that doesn't make them look slimy. So I was like, I allow it. It's fine.
Yeah.
People were complaining about that, but I was like, it's fine. So he's, you know, and he does the classic. He pulls the comm like, I'm in. I was like, hey.
I'm surprised that he didn't take the stormtrooper outfit, though.
I thought that's where that was leading as well.
I really thought that's what he was going to do.
I thought we were going to go full A New Hope with this. This episode is chock full of A New Hope references, by the way, which we'll talk about. But, like, yeah, they did not do that one, which I was like, oh, man, that would have been kind of fun to see Obi-Wan in stormtrooper armor.
I thought that would have been really cool.
Maybe it wasn't his size. I don't know. he took that guy out and went, medium? God damn it. So while this is all happening, Reva decides, you know what, screw it. The conventional stuff isn't working with this kid. I gotta go for the heavy stuff. So she tries to use the same mind probe that she used on Haja in episode 2. And it's so funny because it does not work.
It doesn't, which is so cool.
And again, we talk about callbacks from A New Hope. The mind probe does not work on her. Exactly what Vader says. You know, he's like, in A New Hope, he said, her resistance to the mind probe is considerable. We get to see that in action because it's like, yeah, it doesn't work on her. And she even has that great, like, I don't know if it was actually like a dig or if she was genuinely confused because she's 10, but she was like, is this a staring contest? And I was like, that's either a really dope burn or that's just a really funny one-liner.
I thought it was a burn. I thought she was just like, what is this supposed to be? Like, what the hell? Like, I thought it was a good burn.
Either way, I was like, well done. That's really funny.
So after this sweet, sick burn,
yeah,
we get a bit of Reva's past. Reva picks up Lalo,
which
droid.
Fun fact about that, apparently Carrie Fisher had a bird growing up named Lalo, and that's why they named the droid that. I was like, that is so fun.
I am going to cry. Why would you do that?
I'm sorry, but I was like, oh, there's like even if you can find a, you can find the picture online. It's like her when she was like a little kid holding this little bird. And I was like, oh, that's such a good callback. I love that. It's so cute.
Well, now you have depressed Kevin in this episode. So, after we, well, that's sad. After we see this, Rivas got Lalo and is kind of fiddling with this droid while we find out a little bit about Riva's past. And Riva's kind of going on and on about what their past was like and just kind of talking to Leia to try to show her that nobody is going to come for her.
Like, yeah.
Nobody came for Riva. Nobody's going to come for Leia.
It felt like a venting session more than anything, to be honest.
It really did. But it was nice to actually finally get a little bit of backstory.
Yeah.
So that was
we still
cool.
Don't know what the hell happened, and I'm sure that's probably going to be next episode. We'll probably find out, like,
yeah.
We'll probably get to see it. You know, my money's still on her being one of the kids that, like, ran away at the very beginning, like the intro.
Yeah. So now we'll cut, and we go to Tala, who is sitting at a security desk and is guiding Ben around the station as he's avoiding, you know, secret droids and other officers and stormtroopers walking around, and a ranking officer then kind of finds Tala and is kind of catches her.
Yeah,
and she's
like,
forced to kill him.
It's cleared for this level. And she's like, oh yeah, well I have a retort. Murder.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, hey, guess what? That's how the Empire works.
Yeah.
But what's cool is, so she's in this room and it's a security room and she's using this like walkie talkie kind of like little hand thing. And she gets loud, and another person kind of looks at her, and she's like, ha, 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 ha. Which, again, these people are terrible spies. Yeah. They are just so bad, dude. Everybody's so bad at being a spy. But she kills the guy and then goes back to the station.
Which, no one, she kills him quiet. Like, no one hears it. That's so funny.
Yeah, man. She, like, you know, chokes him out and stuff. It's pretty badass. But what I thought was really funny was, if you look, all the buttons and stuff on all the consoles, even later in this episode, nothing has any identification of what the fuck it is. It's just random lit up buttons.
That is Star
and
Wars.
And I'm like, how do you know? How do you know what to press? At least in the prequels, we knew we could see kind of some stuff.
We could see them written in Arabesque, yeah. But I mean, this is
yeah.
They're sticking to the set design from the New Hope era, man. They're doubling down on
which,
that shit.
Hey,
good for them.
Power to them.
Yeah.
So then we get another call out. Speaking of A New Hope, we get another call out to New Hope as Ben uses the Force to lure stormtroopers away.
Yeah, that was a really cool sequence. And like some of the shots were like A New Hope is so good. Like the comlink laying on the table there looked very similar to the shot in A New Hope.
Yep.
And then Ben using the Force to like tap a hallway. So the stormtroopers are like, what was that?
It was cool. It was really cool.
I really like that. Because like I love it. Like you can see Ben / Obi-Wan like, honestly, you can see Ben kind of turning back into Obi-Wan throughout this episode. Like he's getting more familiar with using the Force. Like he's not being Ben, he's being Obi-Wan, which I love seeing that kind of come back to him slowly, like learning how to use the Force as an ally rather than a burden that it has been.
Yeah, it's really nice to see him kind of emerge again. Like it's almost like he was in a metamorphosis on Tatooine and now he's kind of reemerging, but as a more wise and more structured Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with that. But you know who's not evolving is Reva. She's devolving. She's like, you know what? I'm done with you. You need to tell me right now, or I'm gonna go to plan torture. And Leia's like, okay, fine, I'll tell you. I don't want any trouble. I just want to go home. And Reva's like, all right, finally we're getting somewhere. And she goes, but I'm only going to talk to my dad. And Reva's like, which I don't understand that. Like, Reva gets pissed about that part.
Because obviously she would tell her dad. Like, it's obviously like a ploy to be like,
I think to get it out in the open. Because like, if Bail finds out that Reva's the one that did this whole thing, you know, she's done. Like, the Imperial Senate doesn't have the same power that the Republic Senate had, but it still has some influence. Like, you know, you still need the governors to control the population of these planets. The Empire still hasn't maintained, like, absolute control over the galaxy yet. And yeah. Alderaan's a very wealthy core world, so this could really blow up in her face. So she's like, nah, you know what? Screw it. I'm just skipping right to torture. Let's get over here. You're done. And it's like, wow, this is nuts. I was like, okay, all right. And we cut back to Kenobi. Kenobi's like, he's getting closer and closer. And he finally is like, okay. Tala goes, this is the secure area. So this is definitely where they're at. And he opens a set of doors. And he says probably the coolest line of the entire episode. He goes, this isn't a fortress. It's a tomb. And we see this hallway filled with frozen corpses of Jedi Knights and Jedi Padawans.
I will say this. I don't know. We'll talk about this later, but I don't know if they're actually corpses.
You did say that. You were like, I have a theory, and I don't necessarily hate the theory.
We'll talk about the theory here at the end, but
yes.
Let's just say it looks like, you know, in Jurassic Park, if anybody's ever seen that, hopefully you've seen that. Great movie. If you haven't, go see it. They have a mosquito in amber.
They do look like they're encased in amber.
Yeah, that's what this whole thing. And the thing is, their eyes are open and they look like they're almost like in mid, like, you know, speech or scream or what have you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like.
Yeah, if they were, I get what you're saying, because like if they were dead, their mouths would be closed or something like that.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe these were Jedi who they captured alive and then froze. That could be
we'll get to that
possibility.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it towards the end. Yeah, I have a lot of things to talk about this.
Exactly. Well, one of the, I feel like we do need to mention this though. One of the Jedi that he sees frozen, you know, I keep saying like, hey, we want Clone Wars stuff. Well, we got some Clone Wars stuff. We got Jedi Knight Tara Sidube. He was this old man Jedi. He's actually, he's even in the High Republic stuff. He's about, you know, he'd been teaching for the Jedi for like 200 years. He's one of the Jedi that you see frozen, you know, dead, frozen, whatever you want to call it, among the corpses. And I was like, oh man, that's the guy who saved Ahsoka and helped her regain her lightsaber in an episode of Clone Wars. And I thought, like, it's like, that's a really cool detail to throw in, you know, this kind of obscure Clone Wars character. They keep doing this. They keep giving me little teases, little tidbits. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you, Star Wars. So while Obi-Wan's walking through this, he can hear Leia's scream. Like he can hear her down, and he calls Tala and says, hey, I need a distraction. And Tala's like, oh shit. So she goes and finds an Imperial officer who's lower than her and tells her to go get Reva and stop her from torture. She's like, so to lure her away so that Obi-Wan can rescue her. So then we get this great shot of Reva facing down Tala. And Tala, again, I love seeing the broken system that is the Empire. Because she's just like, who the hell are you? And he's like, I am an Imperial officer who is trying to, you know, improve my station by catching the rebels. And I think I found them. And Reva's like, nah, I think you're lying. But the best part is she can't just outright say it, because this is not outside of the character of these Imperial officers to like be having their own little side mission to try to gain power. Like the Empire craves and preys upon ambitious people. So this makes total sense for someone like Tala to actually be not a spy, be a real person who's trying to pull off some shady shit.
Well, it's funny because like she even says to Tala, she's like, I know you're lying, but I can't tell if you're lying for them or for me.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're a liar and a good one, but I just can't tell if it's like, you know, whose side you're lying for.
Exactly.
And it's cool. It really says like, yeah, you're all a bunch of assholes. Like everybody's just an asshole.
You're all just power hungry idiots. I love that.
So after this scene, Obi-Wan takes out the guards. A cool stealth scene. It's kind of like, you know, stealthy ninja style. And there's two guards in this room because all the lights turn off. So what happened was is
he kills
Reva
the power.
Then gets stopped right before Reva's going to really start the torture stuff. She gets interrupted and just basically turns the lights out and leaves Leia sitting in this dark room with two guards. Why the lights are out? Well, the power gets killed by Obi-Wan.
Yep.
So basically he goes in there, kills the lights, goes all stealth ninja, and uses a giant glow stick in the dark because, you know, nobody's going to see that. But he takes out these two guards. He gets Leia out and he tells her, you know, I got you. And she's like, I was told you were dead. And this is when we know that she did genuinely believe that he was dead. She definitely believed
I think
that
she,
part.
I honestly, I still think she held out hope that he wasn't dead.
And I don't disagree with that.
Like her seeing him was like, oh, you know, I was lied to. You know, like, I think it.
Oh, thank God.
Oh. Yeah, like, oh.
Oh, thank the Force. Oh. So now Obi-Wan and Leia, they're kind of sneaking around trying to hide from droids and hide from other stormtroopers. But they make a mistake because Tala isn't there to tell them where the droids are. So a droid, a secret droid, seeks them, and then starts seeking them out. There's a lot of seeking going on.
A lot
on.
Of seeking.
And
hiding and seeking, you could say.
Yeah, hides and seeks. So then we cut, and Tala is kind of pretending that her defection was the cover. We go back to that conversation where she's just like, I'm on your side, but I'm undercover. And when the alarm sounds right away, Reva goes to deal with Obi-Wan. And of course, Reva's just like, ugh, like another fucking thing. She's just like, why is everything happening right now?
Yep. She's not good at her job, which I kind of love that.
Yeah, I know. I think that part of it is because she is so driven by her emotions, she can't see through them, and there's like not that much logic going 100%. On 100%,
you're absolutely right.
So we end up seeing Tala, who's now alone with these two guards, overpower the guards. This woman's a badass. She just kicks everyone's ass.
Which, by the way, I think you and I might have been speculating. I don't know if it made it into the episode or not, but that is the same woman who played Illyria Sandsnake in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes, it is. I could never forget her face.
Yeah, I don't know if that was like off screen, but we were like, I was like, who is that? But yeah, it was just kind of cool to watch her just take out the guards. And that was a really, like, it was like, you know, just, hey, all right, where are you guys? We got to go. Like, shit's hit the fan. We got to go.
So then we cut back to Obi-Wan, and Tala has now met up with Obi-Wan and Leia, and they're fighting through corridors, and they're just trying to escape.
We get a hallway scene.
Now, I remember texting you saying that these hallways and stuff started kind of looking a little bit familiar. The underwater, you know, hallways with the glass and all that stuff. Obviously, there's a lot of underwater hallways and that kind of shit, but it really, really was reminiscent of the end of Fallen Order.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cal Kestis coming at you.
Well, and I think the Fortress Inquisitorius is in Fallen Order, isn't it? And doesn't he visit that planet?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, which was cool. And I really like this sequence too, because Obi-Wan again, he seems like he's learning his shit again. Like he's deflecting blaster bolts. He's moving with the same speed that he used to be able to move at. It was really cool to watch him like not really be afraid to be a Jedi. You know, you see him using his lightsaber instead of a blaster.
And it's kind of looks like it's more like instinct rather than non-instinct, rather than him holding back and being worrisome on even using the lightsaber. Now it's starting. It felt very much more like episode 1, 2, and 3, where he's using his lightsaber in a hallway scene and he's fighting droids. I was worried a droid was about to pop up, to be honest, but because I was like, I don't know if you're fast enough to stop those ones now anymore.
Yeah.
So now we're still in the corridor scenes. We're still fighting. We have purge troopers, as you told me earlier today.
Yeah, which people were complaining that the Purge Troopers didn't look exactly the same. You got to remember, this is 5 years after we first introduced them in Fallen Order. So, you know, there's upgrades to armor. Like, look at the Clone Wars. Every year they got new armor. So, you know,
exactly,
get over it.
Exactly. Come on, guys. Technology advances. Every 4 years, your whatever you have is obsolete.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, if the armor works, though, sometimes for Stormtroopers, why ruin a bad thing? Maybe they just make it look the same, but it's different material.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
They put fans in it for them so they can finally cool off.
Put the Wi-Fi
it's
in.
Hot in there. Yeah. Oh, hey, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth.
Surf all
hey,
of that.
There
be
you
great.
Go. There you go. There you go. So we're still in this corridor stuff, and we get to one of those glass corridors. It's a little bridge from one section to another. It's very short. It's not too long. And Obi-Wan is fighting the blasters off and everything, and they are about to shut the door into this glass tube when one of the blaster hits deflects and hits the glass. And all of a sudden, it starts breaking.
Yep. And I love the sequence, too, because it's like it shows that his powers are coming back in force a little bit because he's able to hold back the water and fight off the stormtroopers at the same time. Which is really, it's really cool to watch him, you know, just be able to manage all that. Cause I don't think the Obi-Wan from episode 1 was able to do that.
Absolutely you know? Not. He's finally able to multitask.
Exactly. Finally. And the doors, you know, the other stormtroopers at the end, other side try to open the doors. They manage to get a couple shots through the corridor and he gets Leia to run to the other side where Tala is waiting at the doors. And then they manage to get the doors closed just in time for Obi-Wan to jump through, and he gets, you know, is able to escape. Which, I was like, that's a pretty fun sequence. People were complaining about it online. I thought it was fun.
It was pretty cool. I mean, as soon as he lets go of the Force, if you will, it's just all hell breaks loose, and he gets through the door just in the nick of time, of course, you know, and movies and stuff like that. But it was cool because he held off a lot of stuff at once, and it was also cool because when the door closed, you see all the stormtroopers just dead.
Yeah, they just drown, which is like that was kind of creepy. It was kind of spooky.
It was a little bit spooky.
I love seeing casual stormtrooper death. It's really cool. It was a really cool sequence. So Tala goes, "Hey, here, put on this jacket," and they put Leia in the jacket while Obi-Wan's wearing it, and then they kind of do they try to sneak past the guards to get back onto the ship.
It was hilarious.
It was really funny. Someone said it looked like the Austin Powers scene in Goldmember when Mini-Me's like carrying Austin through the ship. And I was like, you're not wrong.
It reminded me of the Little Rascals. That's what it reminded me of. I'm old school. It really reminded me of Little Rascals.
I mean, I think both work in that sense.
Yep.
And they're almost scot-free. They almost get away. And then Reva shows up and just catches them outside. And they're surrounded by troopers.
Everyone. And just as they're about to fight, so Reva and Obi-Wan kind of looked like they're about to square off.
Teasing it, and I think it's so funny because, like, you gotta remember, like, in Reva's head, like, this is the battle she's been waiting for, and it keeps getting ripped out of her fucking hands.
Yeah, it's great. It's so, but here's the thing, is it really her battle to have? Like,
no, it's not. Well, in her head, it is. In her head, like, this is what she's been training her whole life for.
Yep. And so right before this happens, two ships show up, and they are there to rescue, of course, you know who, Ben Kenobi.
Yeah.
And dude, company.
They're snow speeders. I was so excited, like, this, because early on in the episode, he's like, hey, what are those T-47s over there? And I was like, oh, those are the snow speeders. And then they showed up, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. Because
that was really cool.
Because they were like, oh, it's only for, you know, these things are only made for hauling cargo, which, yeah, that's what they were for. The rebels are just so good at making useless junk into weapons, because that's what they do.
Well, guess what? These ones have weapons.
Yep.
And they start shooting at everybody. So one of them stays and keeps shooting while Obi-Wan and everybody gets in the other one. And just as everybody's starting to leave, the one guy says, oh, I could stay a little bit. Keep going. I'll hold them back.
Yep.
Famous last words, because guess what? He fucking dies.
Yeah, Reva picks up a barrel and throws it at
it was
his
like
ship.
A weapons cache or something like that. Yeah. She like picks it up with the Force. And then throws it at it, because Fifth Brother runs out as they're starting to leave. Fifth Brother runs out and is like, oh my god, like, stop them, like, what the hell? And so she throws the cash or whatever, the barrel, at the other ship, and he's like, I'll be right behind you, and then boom, blows up, and he dies. And the pilot's obviously sad, the other one, she's bummed out, but they book it. And then everybody kind of just looks at Reva outside. They're kind of just like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, you suck.
You loser.
They're like, you're about to fucking, Vader's going to have a field day with you.
They look at her and they're like, oh shit, you did. So now we're on the little baby ship that everybody got on. And now they enter a giant ship. I'd say giant, bigger than it was before. And everybody gets out and they're kind of walking through the cargo bay.
Roken looks really happy. And then they realize that poor Wade didn't make it.
Yeah, so in the scene where they're all on the table talking, they say one of the arguments was that they're not soldiers. Well, so now we have Tala, and she comes in there, and she looks at them and says, well, guess you guys are all soldiers after all.
Yeah.
Which is just, oof. That's a quote, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Because the look on all their faces was just disappointment, but
they never imagined they'd have to fight. Actively resisting was what they all was all that they wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah. It's sad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was watching it, and I really did feel the pain of, like, it's just a group of people that are just trying to help smuggle people. Like, they're not. They really are not soldiers.
No.
So for this to happen to them, it's like they really lost somebody. That loss is not something that they naturally. I don't say naturally, but they normally experience.
Yeah, I mean, people getting captured and disappearing is probably normal for them, but, like, watch someone actively give their life in combat is probably something that they didn't ever expect to actually have to witness or experience. And, you know, it takes a toll on them. And we do get a really nice moment, you know, where everybody's sitting on the ship, and it finally feels like it kind of felt like the end of the series, to be honest, because they're all sitting there like they're, and Leia and Obi-Wan have like this nice tender moment where she finally, you know, she holds his hand and it seems like she finally feels safe for the first time. And it was a really sweet moment, which gets paralleled by the absolutely horrible time that Reva is having back on Nur, because Vader walks in and just starts force choking the ever living hell out of her and screaming at her like, you were warned of failure.
He actually screamed, which I think that is like one of the first times we really on camera, aside from like, I know episode one, he screams kind of where he's like, find them now. But it's like more like barking orders. Screaming.
Yeah, this was rage.
Whereas this was Vader suit cyborg rage.
Yeah. And it was fantastic, you know. And Fifth Brother has his fucking shit-eating grin. I was like, all right, yes. You know, all right, I get, you know, finally this annoying person is going to go away, go sleepy time for a long time, get her own little amber cell.
Well, what's cool is that Fifth Brother, he looks kind of pleased at Reva's failure, but he can't, he kind of catches himself and can't look too pleased, because if he does...
Yeah, Vader will think that he let him go on purpose, yeah.
Exactly. He doesn't want to show too much happiness about the failure in front of Vader.
Yeah, because that could get him killed.
Exactly.
Oh, I love the infighting of the Inquisitors. It's so good. It's so dumb. Like, work together, people. Come on. You're on the same team.
I know, right? They would be great if they worked together. Like, they would be totally, like, unstoppable.
Yeah, but they're idiots, so that's not going to happen. And right before Reva's about to die, she's like, no, hey, I've got a tracker. And Vader's like, how do you know that she still has the tracker on her? And Reva's like, trust me, it's there. And we pan down, back on the ship, we pan down, and we see Lola reactivate, and the little droid's eyes are glowing bright red. And that's the end of the episode. And I was like, oh man, that's a good way to end it. But again,
it was
like,
a great way to end it.
That
evil
ending,
droid is evil.
Yeah, exactly. But that ending, I was like, yep, well, there's the nail in the coffin for us to get Clone Wars flashback. I feel like we're not gonna have time in the next episode because they're gonna hit the ground running. But that's okay, because we're gonna have, I think we're gonna get a nice big old Vader fight coming up.
Yeah. So what we're gonna do here is we're gonna take a quick ad break, and we are gonna be right back. Okay, so we're back. So that's the episode. That's episode 4. A lot shorter than the other one. Not as much happens. We have a little quick rescue mission. That's kind of what it is. And I thought it went pretty well.
I thought it was fantastic.
Was said princess rescued?
Said princess was indeed rescued. Well, saved, not rescued. Because we still don't know what's going to happen in the next episode.
True. I thought this episode was pretty good.
I thought it was great. A lot of people... I think I want to get to my what I liked about it, and then we'll talk about what I didn't like about it. I think that the set pieces were really, really fun. I think that the base was the scary fortress that it should have been. You know, I loved the idea of them having all the Jedi as trophies. I love that idea. I think that's such a cool, you know, scary sequence, because we see in our earlier episode, we see like lightsabers in the Inquisitors like meeting area, and like, you know, like trinkets and trophies that they've captured from the Jedi. And I love that. I think that's so cool. And so it's really cool to see like the actual like corpses there, which, you know, if I could speculate for a second, they might be using these like, you know, the corpses, because they're, you know, they're still powerful in the Force, even if they're dead. So the Sith might be using them to like enhance their Force powers. We see that in some of the Legends stuff before too, like things that are associated with the Force tend to still maintain some Force, you know, abilities within them, like essences.
I have my own theory about this that ties to that.
Yeah, so like it might be, you know, that might be what we're looking at, is like this might be like a Force essence situation where like they're using it to power them, not only themselves but their, you know, their connection to the dark side. You know, and you know what? You might even be, like you mentioned, like these guys might not be dead. You might be half right. They might be dead, but they like died in a moment of like pain or fear, and like they're you know, like that image, because there's that little boy, that little youngling who's like, it looks like he's scared when he got killed. You know, like maybe they flash froze him in that moment, And they're like using that to like torture him for all eternity to like give themselves more like a boost in power.
So here's why I think it's weird, though.
Yeah.
Is I don't think they're dead. And here's why. That youngling really is what kind of made me think they weren't dead, is because the pose that youngling was in wasn't a corpse pose.
It looks like he's running.
It was like a shot in the moment. And so unless they posed the corpse that way and were like, yeah, look at this, haha, like taxidermy, it doesn't make sense. I don't think they're dead. I think those people are like kind of
like frozen in carbonite.
You mentioned it earlier to me because I was trying to figure out the best way to describe it. I think it's like a force well. And I think those people are stuck in the force in a moment of fear, like they were in the tank and maybe Vader was there or something like that. And they were scared and then flash frozen or whatever in amber. They've been tortured. And I think that they're stuck there. And that is causing this force well. And here's the other thing. It's in the Mustafar system. I don't think something like that would be safe to put in Vader's castle, only because if something happens, by any means, if something happens, all these force users get released. Let the fucking, you know, Inquisitors deal with that shit. I don't want to deal with that crap. He can still gain power from the well, because guess what? It's on a moon in the Mustafar system, and it's in a building that's shaped like a tower. And what is the tower pointing to? Maybe it's pointing to his tower.
Good that you know, that's actually a really good idea. Like maybe he's siphoning their force essence from afar, and you know, this facility is isolated so that, you know, if there's any betrayal, they can just, you know, send it to the bottom of the ocean very quickly.
Boom. Bada bing.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That's what I think is going
that's
on.
It's a very interesting idea. I like that a lot, actually. And to piggyback off of that a little bit, you know, I wish we had had more time on that sequence. Getting to my criticism a little bit, this episode felt rushed, and I felt the series itself has felt a little rushed so far. Like, I felt like we could have had, like, the beginning, the first episode, you know, is a little slow, but like in a good way, you know, is like methodical, plodding along and like revealing stuff as time went. But this episode, like this, it made me ask so many more questions, and I wish we had answers for them. And I feel like we didn't get those yet. And I think it makes me hopeful for like more questions. And I think you even, Kevin, if you want to reveal the thing you just found out, like literally an article came out as we're recording this and we got the notification.
Yeah, so an article came out saying that Reva might end up getting a spinoff. It's possibly in the works. And then, supposedly, Obi-Wan's been doing so well, they might be doing a season 2.
Which would make sense if, like, why we feel like there's a lot not answered.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know, I feel like maybe this would be better off as a limited series instead of a continuation series.
Look, I think... So let me get into my positives for the episode.
Yeah, of course.
I think color-wise, everything was good. I liked the yin-yang thing. I thought as a rescue mission, the hallway sequence when they're running through the hallway, the shots were done really well. It felt like a chase sequence. I loved the little subtle callbacks. I thought all that stuff was great. Costuming was brilliant. The water stuff, as somebody who that kind of freaks out, I loved it. I still thought it was really cool. I overall thought the episode was a tad slow-paced. However, I think I may believe that to be the case because the last two episodes, especially the last episode, was so much faster-paced. So I don't think it may have been the episode per se. I think I have now been ramped up in the last couple episodes. And then this one was kind of a little bit slower. There weren't, you know, any real crazy lightsaber battles. That's kind of why I think it feels slow. I don't think it necessarily is slow. I think it just felt slow due
to
what we've already been given.
That makes sense.
I thought the tomb situation was really cool.
Yeah.
I loved that. It means that some of these characters from Clone Wars, they are still out there. Even if they're in amber, they're still out there. So I thought that was really cool. Maybe we'll get some more people. It made me think about the beginning of the Resistance and seeing those things on the screen for live action. It made me excited for that. I think this episode made me excited for other stories and other things to
like
show
Andor
up.
Coming up later.
Yeah, like it just made me really think about the potential for the rest of, you know, Star Wars.
Yeah, which I think we're going to be very happy having stuff to talk about for many, many days to come.
Oh, yeah. Now, some of the things I didn't like were the pacing. I think the way the episodes have been mapped out, I think maybe that whole Vader fight in the last episode should not have happened for story pace-wise. I think it would have been better if he didn't fight Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan escaped and ran away, and because of his fear and him letting, you know, his fear take a hold of him, that's the reason why Leia gets captured, rather than he gets the shit kicked out of him by Vader. I think it would have made that last episode a little bit subtly more about how Obi-Wan is more of a failure because he, like, it's kind of like a wake-up call.
Yeah.
And that's why he has to go save her, rather than, I got my shit rocked, I got to prove to you guys that I'm not the little, you know, I don't know. That's how I feel.
I think the reason that they went with the fight is because it was like, he either has to fight an Inquisitor or fight Vader, and I think they were worried the audience wasn't going to accept Obi-Wan losing to an Inquisitor. I really think that's what it was, because I...
Honestly, that would show he's even more weak than, you know, would have really put it out there for us, so I don't know.
But I think they were like, no, there's no way, because, like, because they even talk about it, like, in some of the extended material, like, Rebels and some of the comics, it's like, the Inquisitors, like, they look scary, but they're really only good at fighting Padawans. You know, they're not much more than Sith Padawans themselves. Like, they have trouble with knights. And there's a reason why there's so many of them. There's, you know, there's that big family of them, is because, like, their tactic is to like find a Jedi, surround him, swarm him, and that's how they'll kill him. Because like when the Inquisitors fight Kanan Jarrus, Ahsoka, Maul, and Ezra in Rebels, they fucking run away because there's only two of them, mm-hmm. and they suck. You know, one of them gets, you know, they just can't handle it. Like. And so I think when they were writing the show, they were like, we can't have Obi-Wan lose to one of these guys. We'd like the audience just won't accept
it. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. But overall, I thought the episode looked really pretty. I didn't really have that many problems with it. I think the pacing thing, I think the way it was paced out was the problem.
Yeah, I get that.
And yeah, other than that, I thought it was great. I do think that, again, everybody's so bad at being a spy here. Like, fuck, man. Even having, like, Obi-Wan wearing the officer's hat, I thought was really cool. But having that jacket on and then clearly having, like, come on. Yeah, like, what is that, you know? It's just, how the fuck did you walk out of that facility like that? Come on. It just felt very, like, really? Really?
No, I get you.
But, of course, I'm fine with the goofiness. It's okay. It's Star Wars.
It's Star Wars, exactly.
But overall, I really think next episode is going to be crazy. I think we are going to definitely see some more Clone Wars references. And I think they're going to have to leave the path. I think they're going to have to leave at least the area that they are located on. And they're going to have to go somewhere else. And I'm trying to figure out, I can't for the life of me figure out who's going to show up or where they're going to go. I think it would be really cool if Samuel Jackson showed up in this. It would be really dope. I still think he's alive, and I will fight that to this day. Samuel Jackson says he wants to come back. Let the man come back.
I mean, listen, you're not going to hear any guff from me, because I would love to see a Boba Fett hunting a crazy Mace Windu movie that was rumored a while ago. That would be so fun.
Mace Windu was such a badass, and I think for him to survive and be a part of the path, that would be fucking cool.
That would be cool. I mean, we can get into like what we expect from the wrap up for the season. I mean, I think it's good that you said that they're possibly doing a season two, because I feel like we haven't seen any Clone Wars flashbacks. We haven't seen any Qui-Gon Jinn. You know, there's been three episodes now.
What's up with that?
Begging to see Qui-Gon. Like, I feel like it's coming. I feel like we're gonna get a Qui-Gon cameo. I just don't know if we have time. And you know, honestly, I'm gonna say it. I think we need more Hayden Christensen. I really do think that he's been in all the marketing leading up to this, and he's barely been in it. Like, I think like one flashback, Clone Wars flashback, would be enough. Like, that would be like, okay, now you're justifying it. But I just feel like the shots he's been in, he didn't even need to be there. Like, he's not in the suit. I can almost guarantee he's not in the suit.
He hasn't been in the suit on every scene. I know that because they posted some photos of like stunt people and fighting people, and he hasn't been in the suit every time. but he was training. So I don't know, man. I think he will show up, like him, his face and all that. I would love to see him like hanging in the Bacta tank. I would love to see him in his meditation chamber. I think that's kind of going to be coming. But honestly, I think if we were to see Hayden Christensen, like a lot more of him, I think we would see him in the Ahsoka series.
Yeah, maybe that. Like,
She would have the flashbacks.
That might be where we get some Clone Wars flashbacks. I mean, I think you're right. I think they would have to do it in that, to be honest. But hopefully we get that. I don't know. You know, I think what we're getting from the show is good. I think that I kind of wish they had gone, like, they talked about how like they wanted to do some darker stuff, but then the Disney corporate was like, no, you can't do that. I kind of wish they had doubled down on some of the darker shit. I really do. I wish they'd kind of, you know, push the envelope a little more. Not that the show, like I said, not the show is bad. I just feel like they played it safe. Man, they're really trying to recover from the fallout of The Last Jedi. It's really kind of funny to watch them like be afraid to push the envelope on any of this stuff. But I think that you know, I wish they would do a little. I wish they would go a little harder, just a little further.
Well, that about wraps it up. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and if you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow the show. And be sure to connect with us on Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter @lore_party. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.